Psalm 7, 9. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous, for the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. Psalm 7, 9. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous, for the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. Psalm 7, 9. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Colossians 3:16. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve your understanding, will keep you. Let's do that again because I messed up. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Proverbs 2:10-11. Children, please stand for Bible class. We open our Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I don't want to confuse you, but I'm going to be using more verses of Scripture than we are putting on the screen. The first one is Ephesians 4, 1, and then in a little while we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Over these past days when we've been shut in, we've had opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, like which we probably have never had in past days. As I said at the last session, that I am convinced that this has been for me and for Joyce a magnificent time, a time of seeing things we've not seen before, understanding things that we have not been able to understand in past days. This has been a magnificent journey for us. We've been able to see again how God has a magnificent and wonderful plan for our lives. And we said at the last session, we've been able to see again that grace is pursuing us in a wonderful, magnificent, marvelous way. I want us to pray. I want us to thank God tonight for the fact that grace is pursuing us. May we pray together, please. Father, we bow tonight again to express our deep and abiding appreciation for the fact that grace is a magnificent gift to all of us. Salvation grace, logistical grace, grace in every area of life. You provide for us. You bless us. You take care of us. We're the recipients of your grace in so many different facets of life. And tonight we want to thank you over and over and over again for all of these wonderful blessings. We realize that these have been unusual days for us. To some people, more days of inconvenience than others. But for all of us, if we've taken advantage of it has been for us a day and days of spiritual advance and spiritual growth. It has been a time when we've been able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint, like which we in many days perhaps have missed in different ways. These have been days when we've had opportunity to see from your word things that we have not been able to see in past days, not because you have kept these things secret from us, but we have not allowed ourselves to be the recipients of these blessings. We thank you for what you're doing for us, and we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the fact that we know again that your grace has pursued and is pursuing us on a daily basis. And we have the responsibility of seeing that we are here on this earth because you put us here. Our life is not an accident. We've said this time and time again. We realize over and over again that we're here because you want us to be here. We're still alive because you desire for us to still be alive. When you get ready for us to go home, you'll take us home while we're still here. That means that you have a reason and a purpose for our existence. Help us to realize that. We've been able to see in the verses of Scripture which we have before us tonight that before the foundation of the world, you made arrangements for us to be the recipients of your plan and your grace. And that we have the responsibility of now not only of realizing that we're here for a specific reason, but you've given us the opportunity to see what we're to do while we're here. Not only the reason for us being here, but the reason for us being able to function properly while we're here. Father, help us in these moments of study tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It's interesting to me to be able to see how these two verses actually fit together. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 is on the screen now for you to see. Therefore, I beseech you as a prisoner of the Lord that you walk worthily of the calling to which you have been called. When I look at Ephesians 4, 1, I see the reason why we're here. The Apostle Paul is speaking, of course, by the Spirit of God to the Ephesian believers, and he says here, I beseech you as a prisoner of the Lord, that you walk worthily of the calling to which you have been called. This is the reason why we're here, that we walk worthily of that calling to which we've been called. When I look at Ephesians 4, 1, I see something that presents one thing. And then when I look at Ephesians 4, 1 and 1, 4, I see something different. Let me ask you to look with me at Ephesians 1, 4. Accordingly, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. When I look at Ephesians 1:4, I see God's plan is to make each one of us as a believer a very important person. In other words, we are to be a VIP. In this verse, we have the redemptive plan of God presented to us in a magnificent, wonderful way. If you'll notice, please, Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You're seeing some words here, in Him, in love, without blame. In this particular verse of Scripture, we see, as I've already mentioned, God's redemptive plan for mankind, for the human race, summarized in words that we've heard recently by one of our young ministers in messages so fantastically presented on the two words, in Him. There are many words that can be used for our salvation. Words like redemption, atonement, justification, reconciliation, propitiation, the vicarious substitutionary sacrifices of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the two simple words, in Him, cannot be beat. We as believers are irrevocably joined to Jesus Christ by means of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why in 1 Corinthians 12:13 we read, for by one Spirit are we all into one body baptized, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and all were given to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're placed into the body of believers. We're told that he that is joined in unto the Lord is a one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. We belong to Him, as there's nothing as wonderful as that. When I go to Romans 8:1, I read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That cannot be improved. As I'm looking at this verse, I'm seeing the two words, in Christ. I would encourage you, if you will, somewhere to write these words. First of all, write them in English. In Christ. If you're so minded to do so, you can put it in the Greek language. I think it'd be interesting for you to do it. I'm going to put it on the screen for you to see. Some of you are aware of the fact that there's an E, the epsilon, nu, and then C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, the nominative case, is in Christo. Please notice that you will see in the original language that there is no article in front of in Christ. No article. In Christ. All blessings in life are related to Christ. He's the source of the action. The scripture says He has chosen us in Him. He has chosen us in Him. Perhaps you need to let me, for a few moments, emphasize something here. And that is that the Lord is letting us see that we are very important individuals because we belong to Him. We've been saved by His grace. We're members of His family. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are described as a Christian, which means that we are to be like Him. He not only has an important factor for us to know, and that is He's responsible for our being who we are as a believer. But we have the responsibility as a believer of doing something with the fact that we are a believer. When I look at this word, in Christ, He has chosen. And I look at that word, chosen. I don't need to go into the long discussion of a long Greek word here, but I need to tell you that when I look at that word, I see it and I break it down. And I see it means that we are the picked out ones. We're the called out ones. I like that. We are the individual selected ones. Please notice that this word is ek, which means out, lego, which means call. So it means to select, to elect, to be, I am a, to be called out. When I take a look at this verb, I'm able to see some things that are so fantastic. I see that it is saying that at a point of time, that calling came. It tells us here when it took place. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, left heaven's glory, came to the earth, and God Himself is the one who has done the selecting. And when I look at this word, I discover that it is a middle voice, which means that God is benefited by our selection and we are benefited by our selection. God desires that we understand that there's a reason why we're here and there's a reason why we've been born into His magnificent family. It's purpose. We have been the selected ones. The infinitive emphasizes the fact of the wish or desire. It is God's wish. It is God's desire that we see this. It should be our desire, infinitive, that we see it, that we are in Him. And there's a reason why He has us here on the earth now. When I look at this verse, I see that it says, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Then there's a reason why. That we should be holy, without blame, before Him, in love. Let me analyze this with you. We're told that we're joined unto the Lord in one spirit. When Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 17, we belong to Him. Nothing more wonderful than that. I referred a few moments ago to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We cannot have that improved at all. Look at those two words. In Christ. He is in the business then of removing defects for sainthood. The purpose of God's grace is to make us like our Lord. It says He has chosen us for Himself, which means that God is the source of that action. Before the beginning of the world, our Lord said in the upper room, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you." Dr. G.C. Morgan said, that puts the responsibility on Him. If He did the choosing, then He's responsible. The verse goes on to say that we keep on being. That's the purpose. When I look at Ephesians 4:1 and Ephesians 1:4, what am I seeing? I'm seeing the reality of our purpose of being a believer. And then I'm seeing our responsibility as a believer. We're to see who we are, to whom we belong, and why we're here. It says then that we keep on being holy. That verb is the infinitive again. Purpose, desire. Holy is the Greek word hagios. And then we have this unique word, and I spent a lot of time thinking about it. You might want to write it down, momos. What does that mean to you, momos? Well, if you take the little A and put it at the first of it, A, amomos, if momos means defected, amomos means without defect. Does that make sense to you? How fantastic this is. God has a purpose and a plan for you and for me. For us to have a desire to see, His desire for us to see. He has a desire, He wants us to have the desire to see why we're here. Our purpose for being here, that He, in the eternal ages past, made plans for us to be here. Not only did He make plans for us to be who we are or what we are, but He has a plan for us to do what He wants us to do while we're here. And the major thing is that we be amomos, which means holy, which means no defects. We're the chosen ones. We're the selected ones. We're the very important individuals to Him when we fulfill His plan and His design for us. When I look then at Ephesians 4:1, therefore, I beseech you, as the prisoner of the Lord, that you walk worthily of the calling to which you've been called. This takes me to Ephesians 1:1. Let me read it to you. Let me put it on the screen. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints, being in Ephesus, to the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. I'm separating this and I'm making application to you and me. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to you saints who are in this auditorium tonight and those saints who are listening to my voice by way of the internet, faithful ones in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every blessing, spiritual blessing, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What we have here is God using the Apostle Paul as an apostle to present to us a challenge. Could I ask you a quick question and you answer it for yourself? Could you give us a definition for an apostle? What is an apostle? If you deal with the subject of apostleship, what does that mean? We're seeing here that the Apostle Paul is saying that he is an apostle. When I look at the scriptures, I discover, number one, that God used apostles for recording his word. God used, for instance, the Apostle John. The last temporary gift to cease was apostleship, if you want to put that down. Apostleship, one, God used apostles for recording his word. We have so much to be thankful for in relationship to the Apostle Paul. So much of the New Testament, the Spirit of God used the Apostle Paul to give us these magnificent words. God used apostles for recording his word. The last temporary gift was apostleship. All of us know that. Most of us are aware of the fact of the time period in relationship to the writing of the Apostle John with the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. 96 A.D., the Apostle John, the last temporary gift to cease was apostleship. Number three, apostleship was a gift sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Apostleship, a gift sovereignly bestowed. Most of us have been down this road of understanding temporary and permanent spiritual gifts. And we understand that when God saved your soul, he gave to you at least one spiritual gift, if not more than one. God is the giver, sovereignly gift of gifts. Apostleship was a gift, sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Apostleship. Number four, the gift was designed to carry the church until the completion of the canon. That's the reason why we have the leadership of the Spirit of God throughout these individuals and taking us through the Apostle John and the book of Revelation. Number five, church age apostles were not appointed until after the resurrection. We're presenting just a little quick summary of apostleship. Number five again, church age apostles were not appointed until after the resurrection. Number six, we must know the difference between the apostles to Israel and the apostles to the church. If you're interested, Matthew chapter 10, Jewish age. Apostles to the church, Ephesians chapter 4. We're not getting into any detail on this, just to let you know that we need to understand the difference between the apostles to Israel and the apostles to the church. Number seven, the gift of apostleship exercised authority over all local churches, such as Rome and Ephesus and Colossians and so forth. Number eight, an apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. interesting enough, you go to Acts chapter 9, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 9, 1, 15, 8, 9. Emphasis on what took place in the life of Saul of Tarsus. Number 9. Apostles had authority. That authority was established by supernatural gifts. This to me is a magnificent subject, and I don't want to take any time now to deal with this, but I trust that all of you understand that apostles had authority, and that authority established their ability to reveal the reason why they were on the scene. Apostles' authority established by supernatural gifts, such as miracles and healing and tongues. All of this is presented to us in the Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 28, Acts chapter 19. These are magnificent, magnificent and wonderful emphases. I go back in closing. When I look at Ephesians 1, 1, when I look at Ephesians 4, 1, I see the fact that we are very important individuals to God. VIPs. Paul, an apostle, presented in Ephesians 1, 1. The reason why God has us here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Let me read those verses to you again. Ephesians 1, 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And then he says in 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, this is us, all of us, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. Do you see the connection between Ephesians 4:1 and Ephesians 1:4? May we pray together, please. Father, we are aware of the fact tonight that there's a reason for our existence. You put us on this earth. You saved us by your grace. You've called us. And we thank you for that. We know that we do not know how long life is for any one of us. That's all together in your hands, and we thank you. We thank you that life itself is a gift, and we thank you for it. And you're in charge of our time while we're here on the earth, and when you get ready for us, you'll take us home. But while we're here, we realize that there's a reason for our existence. And in the eternal ages past, you set this up for us so that we would determine in our own hearts that we're going to daily understand your plan for our individual life. We're not making decisions about other individuals. We have the responsibility to make the decision on a daily basis about self. We know that there's a reason that you still have us here. We pray that we will understand that that is a magnificent purpose. And this is not accidental. It's intentional. And help us to see that. Help us to be able to see the connection between the fact that there's a reason for our being here and what our responsibility is, having become the recipient of being on this earth. As we close this service, we want to remind individuals this evening, especially those who've never accepted you as their Savior, that God's plan of salvation is for everyone. And that there came a point of time when Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, left heaven's glory as the God who came, God incarnate, God in the flesh. And he became the God-man for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And the scripture says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. Eternal life in the Lord's presence throughout eternity. And then the scripture says, Jesus speaking, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Which tells us that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. There's no other way. Salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the reason why the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so simple, beautiful, magnificent, wonderful. It's faith alone in Christ alone. That's what the scripture tells us. And in these last few moments of this service, there may be some listening to this voice who've not done that yet, but they could do it now. This could be the most important moment in their entire lives. A drastic change, faith alone in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And again I repeat, Jesus said it. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one can come to the Father except by me. That's Jesus speaking. He's the way, the only way. And we pray that there will be those who trust you now. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.